A number of years ago, I was at Camp Mokuleia, and I walked into the kitchen about to head home, and I walked into the kitchen and I saw the kitchen staff person standing there with her hands sort of on the table, frozen. Not a good sign when you know that this is the person that's supposed to be preparing the meal that folks who are staying there at the camp are going to be eating very soon. And I looked at her and I said, "What's going on?" And granted, this was a person who was hired to help in the kitchen, hired to help in the kitchen to wash dishes, to wipe down tables, to maybe chop a vegetable or two, but not to cook. But this was a day that one of the things that happened way too often when I was the director out there, the other cooks just decided that better to fish, better to surf, whatever it was, it wasn't the time to come in. So she was now there by herself, not trained to cook, with a meal that had to be put out in just a little bit of time. So I looked at her and I said, "Let's take a few deep breaths here." And I said, "The main dish, has it been prepared?" "Yes." "What needs to be done?" "Heat it up." "Do you know how to turn on the oven?" "I do." "We're good." "Vegetable. Do we have any frozen vegetables?" "Indeed we do." "Have you cooked frozen vegetables here before?" "I have." "Can you do that?" "I can." "Good." "Rice. It's always good to have rice. Do you know how to work the rice pot?" "I do." "Great. We're good. We got a meal. We got a main dish. We got rice. We got vegetables. We're good." And she took a big breath and she went, "Dessert." I said, "Dessert? We have to have dessert." I said, "Okay. What's for dessert?" "I don't know." So I said, "Have we got old bread?" "Yes." "Do we have milk?" "Yes." "Eggs?" "Yes." "Cinnamon?" "Yes." "Sugar?" "Yes." "I got this. I'll make some bread pudding." And she looks at me and her eyes get so big. And I don't know if her eyes are so big like, "Really, you can cook?" Or, "Really, we can get this done?" I'm not sure which, but whichever it was, her eyes got big, and I said, "I got this. Go take care of everything else." So I go about making bread pudding, get it all put together, stick it in the oven, wait to make sure she's got everything good. It comes out, bread pudding looks gorgeous. I leave, big smile on my face. I got to feed my love for cooking that day. I got to help out a staff member. All was well. She was pleased. Meal goes out. Come in the next morning, and she's working again. And I said to her, "How was the bread pudding?" Again, the eyes get really big. And she said, "You might want to try it." And I went, "Well, it's never a good sign, right?" So I take a spoon, and I test it, and I spit it out. Turns out that the white sugar bin is right next to the white salt bin. 2 cups of salt as opposed to 2 cups of sugar does not necessarily make for good bread pudding. It's a fairly simple cooking lesson that just because they are both white, they are not the same any more than vodka and gin just because they are clear or water. It's not the same. But here's the really interesting thing about salt, that food experiment aside, is that if I, in fact, wanted to make a sweet bread pudding, I would, in fact, add a little bit of salt, because salt is a flavor enhancer. If I wanted to make a savory bread pudding, put in some herbs and things like that, I would, in fact, add a little bit of salt to bring out the flavor of those herbs. In fact, salt, good professional cooks understand, is about as close to a magical cooking ingredient as you can have. If I want to take a food that is somewhat bitter and take the bitterness off of it, add a little bit of salt. If I want to take something that is both sweet and savory and blend them together, add some salt. Think margaritas, right? If, in fact, I want to take a piece of meat and make it really juicy, what do? We add salt. That wonderful huli huli chicken that we have at the fall fair, do you know what the magic ingredient to that huli huli chicken is? It's chicken and salt. That's it. Nothing else has to be added. liberally salt that chicken and it becomes so wonderfully juicy. If I want to take food that is really quite bland and pop it some, not make it salty taste, just make it pop, add salt. I've been making sourdough bread lately. I will confess to you that one of the things that I love about making sourdough bread is I like to eat the raw dough. My daughter enjoys it as well. So after I made the first loaf of sourdough bread, after I'd made the starter and done everything else, I make this really wonderful, gorgeous loaf of sourdough bread. It's rising. I take off a piece of the raw dough, taste it. Oh, so wonderful. Next time I'm making sourdough, I go back to form, which is recipes are really only guidelines. I mean, they're just helpful hints. You don't really need to follow them that much. And so I'm doing my making the sourdough bread, and I get to that place where it's rising, take off a piece, taste it, and it is like cardboard. And I went, what did I miss? The salt. Go back in, add 2 tablespoons of salt to the bread. And in fact, that bread now pops. I will never make that mistake again with the sourdough bread. That's the amazing thing about salt. It is a flavor enhancer to a degree that we cannot find any other ingredient in cooking that does exactly the same thing. So when Jesus says, as we read together, you are the salt of the earth, maybe he's talking about the preservative qualities of the salt and using that as a metaphor. Lots of good spiritual metaphors there, whole nother sermon. Maybe he's talking about the purifying qualities of salt. When we talk about rubbing salt in a wound when you get a cut, yes, we're talking about pain, but we're also, the reason you rub salt in a wound is it cleans and purifies. Wonderful metaphors, another sermon. In fact, this sermon is on the first 5 words of the 7 verses that we read. So if these 7 verses are going to come up every 3 years in the lectionary, and I'm just doing 5 words of the first verse, I have sermons for the next 20-some-odd years. I won't be here that long, but I'm just letting you know that there's a lot of sermon material in those 7 verses. But this is what is so utterly amazing, is that when Jesus is talking about you are the salt of the earth, let's just deal with the reality of what he's talking about is we are called to be that which enhances the flavor of the world. And we can assume that if the Bible says to us in the very beginning, in the very first chapter of Genesis, that what God has done is that God has blessed and said that the world, all that has been created is good and has been blessed, then what we are doing is we are enhancing the flavor of that which is already good and blessed. It may have become tainted. It may have become soured. Who knows what has happened? But we are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the world to add and enhance flavor. So what does that look like? What does that look like? There is a perfect example right here in our neighborhood of what it means to enhance the flavor, to add flavor to the world. If you walk 3 blocks this way, go down University Avenue, turn left on King Street, walk up a block, you come to what store? The first store past the apartment building, what's the first store there? Anybody know? Kokua Market. Many of you have been shopping at Kokua Market for decades. Many of you, like many in the community, have believed in Kokua Market. It's been in the midst of all sorts of development. It's been this place where you knew you could go and get healthy food. And many of you know, as does the community know, that Kokua Market is hanging on by its fingernails right now. And in fact, if you walk there right now, you will see a sign that lays it out very starkly. Has the numbers, does the math for you. We are coming short every single day with the money that we need in order to keep our doors open. And there are those that will read that sign who have believed in Kokua Market's mission, and the way that they will respond to that is they will look at that and they will say, well, there it is. The world is indeed going to hell in a handbasket because Kokua Market is going to close its doors. Indeed, here it is, living proof that mom and pops are getting destroyed by the incorporation of the world. Here it is, living proof that that which is pure and unadulterated has now been taken over by that which is going to be processed and tainted. You will throw your hands up and say, see how bad the world is? But if you read the signs that are there, there's another sign that says, here's the deal. If everyone who comes to Kokua Market were to spend just $5 or more on a daily basis here, or do the math, an extra 40 or so people were to come on a daily basis, our doors stay open. What they are saying is, we need some salt. We need some salt. We need some enhancement to the world that we have. We need the people that believe in who we are, what we are about, supporting those 30 farms that are out there that are bringing in fresh, locally, organically grown food and providing the stock there, being able to support those local initiatives that are creating the various by there. If you are the person that wants to support that, we need a little bit of enhancement. We need you to throw a little bit of salt to show your values and allow us to continue to be that beacon that is in the world. We are called to take that which is already good and find our ways to enhance that which is there and make it better. And this is not a call for all walk over to Kokua Market, join Kokua Market, add another $5. I just use that as an example for what they're asking is a little enhancement. I think this is exactly what Isaiah is talking about. When Isaiah speaks for God and God says through Isaiah, says to the folks, look, your impulses are right. I get your impulse. You want to do that which will delight me. God saying this. You're going to do that which will delight me, make me happy. You're going to come to worship together. You're going to even do things like fasting. But when you come to worship together, you're still fighting and quarreling with each other. You're still hitting each other upside the head. You're still sitting there fasting, and you're not seeing the fact that there are people that injustice is happening right outside the doors of this temple. That's not the fast I want that God says. What I want is look outside the doors of this temple. Look outside the doors of this temple. There are people who are hungry. Enhance their lives. Feed them. There are people outside the doors of this temple who are living in rags. Enhance their lives. Give them some clothes. There are people outside this temple who have no roof over their head. Enhance their lives. Give them shelter. There are those who are right outside the doors of this temple who are indeed feeling the yoke of oppression that are enslaved. Free them. Enhance their lives. That's what Isaiah is saying that God is talking to us. Be the salt, as Jesus would say. Isaiah goes on to say, be like the water that flows into a parched desert and turn it into a garden. Be like the light that comes into the shadows and turn it into the full noonday. Be, as Jesus would say, be the salt that will change the world. Be the salt that will enhance, that will give flavor to that which is already good in our world. And how do we do that? The world, as much then as when Jesus is talking to the disciples, is the same way, asking the very things that we as a church are called to do better than anyone else. We are called to be a community of those who are loved and those who be loved. We are called to be a place where folks can gather together and live lives that make meaning in this world. We are called to be a place where we can develop the skills, the practices that allow the inner journey to connect with the outer journey of our life, to connect the contemplative side of who we are with the action side of who we are. That is who we as a community are called to be. And that, if we are able to do that, is salt on a world that is quite now looking for enhanced flavor with all that is happening around it right now. And so for just a minute, I can silence the phone in my pocket. I can silence the computer screen. I can silence the talking heads, the yelling heads, everyone that wants to make a reality that says the world is a mess. And instead, I can look around and I can see, where is there flavor in this world that needs to be enhanced? It doesn't take a whole lot to look around. walk outside the doors of this church. Walk outside the doors of this church and you walk to Kokuo Market and you are going to step over bodies in many ways. You are going to step over bodies of those who represent the houseless community here. We are called to be engaged in the conversation that says, how shall we do something about this so that they may have a life that is enhanced just in the same way that Isaiah speaks. Walk outside the doors of this church and you will see students streaming up and down University Avenue on scooters, on bikes, on foot, in cars. And if there is anybody that we know that is looking for community and looking for meaning, it is university students. How shall we be engaged with that community to give flavor, to provide flavor to them? Walk outside the doors of this community and see the fact that this, that which was once a community where families were raised, where children played on the streets, where there were buildings that lasted for year after year, decade after decade, is all coming down. How shall we be a community in a place that is being incorporated left and right? Those are all issues that we, as the community, as that which is called to create meaning in our community, that which is called to be a place of beloved and of those who beloved, how shall we be? Well, part of how we shall be is to continue to be who we have been. When I was here yesterday in the morning, there were some lights on. The light was on in the and I heard laughter. I walked into the kitchen and there was a family. And what was that family doing? They were preparing a meal for the Institute for Human Services, something we do every single Sunday, every single Saturday, to serve meals for those who do not have meals. And we share that amongst one another. And they weren't doing it because it was such a very difficult, burdensome task. They were having fun. They were laughing. They were sitting in each other's lap. They were throwing food, just a little. Small kind. Just a small amount. I walk away from the kitchen and I walk outside our Sunday school rooms. I hear this animated conversation and I look as I walk by at what's going on in this room, and I realize it is folks that are seeking metanoia, the reversal of life, the turning around of life to seek that which will make for a better life. It's a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and they're animatedly discussing how they shall reclaim their lives, how they shall find flavor. And we provide that space for them to do that. Walk a little bit further and I see people opening up their lunch boxes, gathering here, not members of the church, gathering here because this space right out there is a sanctuary space in the chaos of the city. Look down at my own lunchbox, open it up, and what do I see inside my lunchbox? A meal that has been prepared by one of you all because you've been so concerned about myself and my wife and my family as we've been going through this time of sickness. You are all adding flavor, enhancing my life by those simple gifts. Open my computer, and there I see email after email after email of folks in the church who are working on testimony to go to the state legislature, to deal with gun control issues, to deal with incorporation issues, to deal with a living wage, to deal with housing, to deal with kupuna care, to deal with changing the community that we live in, that it might be the very community that God calls us to make there in Isaiah. We are called to live into that which we are doing and to live into it in new and varied and different ways while we live into the way we already do it. And in so doing, we are called to be with those who may not even understand the language of the church but are doing that work. Walk over here. The Vi-Vi Collective over here is gathering together 30 small nonprofits on a daily basis to rub shoulders and elbows with one another and share how we in our community can make it a community where there is meaning for people. Walk a little further. You will walk by the Hui car sharing, an innovative way of trying to cut down on our carbon footprint by sharing automobiles with another, and recognize that there are people working out how to care for the creation as we are called to do as those flavor enhancers who may not ever enter the doors of this church. Walk over by Kokua Market and look at the bulletin board and you'll see folks that are saying, do you want to connect your inner body with your spiritual journey with your physical body, come to this spiritual dance class. They're doing the work that the church has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is Up at Coffee Talk, apparently, in Kaimuki. Every Tuesday night, there's a talk about looking for truth. Well, my goodness. How cool is that? There are other folks that are doing the work that we do as well. The truth of the matter is we live in a world which is magnificent and beautiful. We live in a world indeed in which we are hearing daily, in and out. As Barbara Holmes, a theologian who is from Eden Theological Seminary, says, we live in a world in which the ghosts of oppression are shape-shifting in new forms and expanding their territory. Sadly, racism and violence and xenophobia and anti-immigrant tropes seem to be on the rise, and she is so true. But at the very same time that all of that is happening, we are seeing people that are gathering together. And people of color are gaining voices that they were never allowed to have before. And women are gaining voices that have been beaten down time and time again. And the LGBTQ community is gaining a voice it did not always have. And although we have a long ways to go in all those things, these are communities. This is activity that is happening. This is flavor being to the world. Barbara Holmes says all those things are happening. But she says, we also are so blessed to live in a time where we can truly imagine it being possible that a community called the Beloved will indeed exist. That we can truly imagine it being possible that all the entities that make up the entirety of our planet will be able to live lives that are full and whole. We live in that world. It is not the world that is in process. It is the world that we are part of making. We are called to be the salt of the earth. We are called to be that which will take the good that is there, the good that is sometimes even buried, and add to it and enhance the flavor and make it whole, make it good, make it pop, make it come into this world. Amen.